Well, it's good to be with all of you this beautiful Sunday. I hope this season of Easter has given a lot of you time to reflect and respond in worship to what God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ. On that note, I also really enjoyed our Good Friday service. Who was here for our Good Friday? Just a show of hands. There's a lot of you here for our Good Friday service, and it was great to see our faith community come together in a bilingual service and to help us think and reflect on the pain and agony of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Peter shared, darkness hovered all over the whole earth. Our hearts have also been darkened, but Christ, the light, came to save humanity. Also, on that note, the song offerings from our worship team and also the choir, the beautiful solo from one of our young adults, Ashley, it was just a wonderful time, and the flash mob from the choir, this video made it all across the world, do you believe it or not? To Australia, to my parents and in-laws. But praising God for that event and an evening to remember. Now, this season, I'm not so sure about you, but I'm always reminded to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. You know, reality is living here in the Bay, we can be so consumed by so many things, fighting for the affections of our hearts, finances, work, our busyness. But God can use a season like Easter to make us stop and self-reflect. What are we really living for? What is our true purpose and mission in life? If Jesus was raised from the dead, then how should it impact the way I go about my life? Is it really to just be busy and pay the bills at the end of the day? Is it really to just invest more money into our kids and our futures? My prayer and hope as a pastor is that our eyes are constantly focused on Jesus, to see Jesus as our one true desire in this life. Because honestly, dear friends, pursuing Him should be our only goal in life. Now today, Easter Sunday, I want to talk about a story that's often not talked about during this time. Traditionally, Easter messages and stories in the Gospels show us that a lot of the disciples actually don't recognize the resurrected Christ. It actually took them a while to believe that, hey, Jesus was risen from the dead. And so that's why today I want to talk about a very fascinating story about two travelers, who are walking on a road to a place called Emmaus on the same day of the resurrection, where during this walk, it drastically changed their lives and they were able to recognize Jesus for who He was, a walk that they will never, ever forget. I love this story because honestly, we can find all of ourselves in this story as well. As we embark on this journey, as we walk and talk with Jesus, we are also praying and hoping that one day He will give us that living encounter to see the resurrected Christ. You see, just like how the resurrection of Jesus has changed the course of humanity, I'm praying today that He comes and changes all of our hearts to live for Him. So today, my message is titled, A Life-Changing Walk, A Life-Changing Walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your word. We thank You for these wonderful Easter stories, these wonderful Easter songs, where we're able to come and reflect and worship and celebrate at what You have come to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see Him this morning. Help our hearts to burn within us so that, Lord, as we go out from here, we can't help but tell others about who You are. Lord, we thank You for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick show of hands. Who here enjoys going for walks? A couple of you, pretty healthy. Whether they're short or long or over rough or smooth terrain, the next question I have for you is, have you ever experienced a walk that significantly changed your perspective on a situation in life or provided clarity on a matter during that walk? Couple? Okay. I remember one of my seminary professors told me, if you're ever stuck in preparing for a sermon, go for a walk. There's a power in a walk where it kind of brings clarity. It's actually not uncommon. Studies actually show that there's many benefits to walking outside of health reasons. Now, for me, I've taken a few walks in my life, even though I don't like walking. I've made that very clear. On Google Map, if something says 3 minutes, I'll tell Ruth, let's drive there instead. I just don't enjoy walking. You know, when we were kids in Australia, there used to be these fundraising walks where you walk for this cause or that cause. I'll never sign up. I just didn't like walking. And even the walks that I did embark on in my life, though rare, I didn't really think much during my walk. I just tried my best to get to point A, to point B, to get it over and done with. However, all that being said, there was actually this one walk in my life that really impacted me. A walk that I will actually never, ever forget. It was the weeks leading up to my big wedding day with Ruth. I was still living at my parents' house. After dinner, my parents said, "Ben, why don't we go for a walk at a local riverbank?" And it was one of these emotional walks because the wedding was around the corner. It was time for me to finally move out of the house. So even in the lead up to this walk, there was something in the air. It wasn't just going to be an ordinary walk. And so my parents, we drove to this local riverbank and we started our walk. And my parents started to talk to me about the wedding, me getting married, what life would be like, for them not living with me. All the past experiences that we had together, our future, where will we end up. It was also filled with a lot of marriage advice from my parents. And you know these talks when parents give advice, the dad will always be like me, son. You know, it was like, be a good husband. Always listen to your wife. And then my mom will be like, no, ni biao ting ni ba, right? Don't listen to your dad, right? He's lying. Anyways, at the end of the walk, I have to say, I felt a warm tingling in my heart. Not because I was tired from this walk. This walk was probably less than 1 mile, all right? But warm in the sense that as my parents shared and as I listened, as I engaged, it was one of those moments of deep connection between a child and their parent. One of those heartfelt moments that you often don't get. It comes, but very rarely. Honestly, it was a walk that I will never, ever forget. I don't know the next time when I would be able to walk with them by myself. Now, this morning, we're going to take a look at a walk that changed the life of two people on the Sunday, on the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A walk that not only shifted their perspectives, brought clarity to their minds on a matter that was pressing on their hearts, but a walk that made their hearts burn within them so powerfully that it forever impacted their lives for the better. And that walk was with Jesus himself. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verses 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. It's a wonderful Easter story that we have before us. Now that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you asking so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. They crucified him and hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?'" Verse 27, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Now, what a fascinating story that we have before us. In fact, it's one of the longest stories in the Gospel of Luke, but it's also one of the most vivid appearances, accounts of Jesus in the New Testament. One Bible scholar by the name of N.T. Wright says, "This is a beautiful piece of art from the author Luke." And I agree. Here we have two travelers on a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to a city called Emmaus. Now, we don't know whether this was two men or a couple, but we do know most likely there were two Jews who were heading home after the Passover festivities that Jews celebrated in connection with their freedom from slavery in Egypt. And so it was on this walk where these two travelers were walking and talking about everything that had just happened. Now, what's happening? For those of you who don't know, in the days leading up to this walk, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a cross. He was handed over by the leading religious elite. And after a short trial, they crucified him on a cross because he was teaching about the kingdom of God and he was claiming that he was the Messiah. So after they crucified him, they placed his body in a tomb, but 3 days later, the body was missing. So among the followers of Jesus and those in the know, this would have been the talk of the town. What has happened? Was his body stolen? Was his body misplaced in a different tomb site? Did he really resurrect from the dead, as he mentioned? This was all the things that these two travelers were most likely talking about on their way home from the Passover. And as they engage in discussion, this back and forth, in this emotional dialogue, in this talk about the tomb being empty, suddenly, out of nowhere, footsteps were heard behind them, those of Jesus. Now think about this. This is really scary, isn't it? Imagine today you went for a walk with a friend, your wife, your whatever, and out of nowhere, you hear footsteps behind you. You probably think this is some creep, right? You run. You make a run for it. Here we see Jesus walks beside them. But at this time, they didn't recognize Jesus just yet. To their eyes, this Jesus was just a random stranger. So Jesus uses this opportunity. What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? What is this emotional dialogue about? The story tells us that they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And they said, "You must be the only person in all of Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days." Now, this is very interesting. You know, when there's some sort of news that goes around in any circle, in your family or in your church or amongst friends, news travels like wildfire. We know that. And then you find out you're the only person that hasn't heard the big news or what's going on. It's exactly like this. Cleopas, one of the travelers, is like, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Where have you been this whole time? Have you been under a rock? This is breaking news." Back then, news would have spread very quickly by word of mouth because public executions at a feast would have been widely discussed among people. And this is really funny. Jesus is like, "What things?" If you don't think Jesus is funny, he's actually very humorous. He's like, "What things?" He's like pretending that he doesn't know. You know when sometimes you hear, you know news, right? But then you're pretending that you don't know. So your friend asks you like, "Hey, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so?" And you're like, "No." But like deep down you do know. Jesus in this very humorous way is like, "What things? I have no clue as to what's going on. What's the big fuss?" But Jesus, in this very wise way, gives these travelers an opportunity to unpack what's on their minds. The two disciples express their disappointment in the course of events because what has happened has filled their minds and hearts with great sorrow and a feeling of disappointment. Without holding back, the disciples share their personal view of Jesus. For those of you who have watched the show Undercover Boss, it's like that. When the undercover boss says to the employees, "So like, what do you think about the company?" And they're like, without holding back, they're like, "The company sucks, the benefits are low." This is exactly what's happening. They were downcast because they had hoped that this Jesus was going to redeem Israel from its Roman oppressors. They had hoped through Jesus, God would work for the nation and deliver Israel into a new era of freedom. That Jesus was going to be this great liberator for the nation Israel. But it wasn't the case. Instead, the Roman authorities condemned Jesus put him on a cross, and watch him bleed to death. Now, at this point, Jesus, a stranger to these two travelers, Jesus takes the wheel in the conversation. He rebukes them and corrects their thinking. Verses 25 to 27, look with me there. It's very interesting. He says this, "Oh, foolish ones." In other words, it's like stupid people, "slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." You see, Jesus demonstrated that the two followers knew the contents of the scriptures, but they did not accept its message as truth. As a result, they failed to see God's plan for humanity. Jesus, in a very smart way, said, "Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He pointed to the reason for their unbelief. They had confused their own expectations with the hope God was actually offering. They had failed to see God's ultimate purpose in this world, which was to bring about spiritual liberation from sin and death. To help the two followers see, Jesus reviewed the whole history of Israel from the time of the Exodus to his own resurrection, highlighting at each point God's plan for the Messiah. Now, we don't know what passages that Jesus actually chose in the Old Testament, but it is implied the whole of the Old Testament was explained. Now, let's step back for a moment. I'm sure you guys have been to some pretty good Bible studies in your life. I've been to some pretty good Bible studies in my life here at my time here at Home of Christ. But most would agree that this Bible study was the best of all time, where Jesus himself interpreted to them and unfolded the scriptures concerning himself. Who here likes biographies, or who reads biographies? Imagine reading a biography and the person that stands next to you is the person that you're reading about. And he says, "Hey, let me tell you the reason for this page. Let me tell you why I wrote this." That's what's happening here. Jesus begins a systematic Bible study, starting all the way from Moses and all the prophets, and he went to all the things that refer to himself in the scriptures. Now, at this point, they reached the village to where they were going. Jesus, very smart, he says, I kind of need to go now. But the two travelers strongly urged him, "Stay with us. Remain with us. It's getting late. The day's almost over." Jesus goes in with them. Now, if I were the two travelers, I'm not surprised that they invited Jesus to stay. I would be absolutely fascinated with this person. Who is this person who knows the scriptures so well? Who is this person that's unfolding and interpreting the word of God? Of course, stay with us. Have some tea, have some crackers. Let's chat a bit more. Have you guys had that experience when you meet someone who's just absolutely fascinating, easy to talk to, and you're just like, "Hey, come in, let's talk more." Recently, one of my good friends came to my office and he was talking to me about his new girlfriend. And he was like, "Ben, you don't understand. When we're together, we just have so much things to talk about. There's not enough hours in the day. We just keep talking and talking and talking." And I said to him, "Oh, wait until you get married." But I said, that's probably what the two travelers felt. There wasn't enough hours during the day to listen to this guy, Jesus, open up the scriptures. So yes, remain with us. And so they sat down. And it's recorded in verse 30 and 31. It's very powerful. They sat down to eat. Jesus took the bread. He blessed it, gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Something remarkable happens here. When Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened to the living Christ and they recognized Jesus for who he is. And before Jesus said anything, before they could respond, Jesus vanished from their sight. Now, just quickly, something I want to quickly draw out. I can't help but see something so amazing right here. For those of you who grew up at church, or those of you who know the Word of God, in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, a couple, two people, ate the forbidden fruit from the tree. Their eyes were also opened, but it led to sin, destruction, and death. Here we see 2,000 years later on, another couple. They dine and eat with Jesus. Their eyes were also opened. This time it leads to healing, eternal life. You see, the story of God has taken this big shift for the better. God has brought cosmic healing to this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at that moment, after Jesus leaves these two travelers, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? They remembered and they recalled our hearts were burning. Don't miss this. It wasn't simply a matter of intellectual conviction. This wasn't a matter of the engagement of their minds. The Spirit of God pierced their hearts and they said to one another, I know that my heart was burning within me. Something was happening. I'm sure it was for you too. And at once, within burning hearts, these two travelers with unspeakable joy went to tell others about what they just had experienced and who they had encountered. Think about it. They just finished a 7-mile walk. For those of you who like to walk, I don't know how many minutes or hours that takes. It's at the end of the night. It's dark and dangerous. But all of that means nothing to them. This news is so electrifying, so reassuring that they said, tonight, within the hour, we must go tell others about what we have just witnessed. If I was one of the travelers, I'd be like, let's just sleep tonight. Let's take a break. Let's just ponder about what happened. Tomorrow morning after a big breakfast, then let's head out. But that's not the case here. That evening, on a walk by God's grace and mercy, they encountered the living Christ. It forever changed their life. They couldn't help but respond. Friends, this Easter, I want to posture our hearts to think about a few things from this story. You see, oftentimes in life, what we hoped is not what we need. And that's the first point I want to talk about. What we had hoped is not what we need. I don't know your story today. Maybe you were forced to come because it's Easter Sunday. Maybe you've grown up at church all your life. All of us have actually different views regarding who Jesus is. To be honest, many in this world, including those who grew up at church, we actually have many misconceptions about who this Jesus is of the scriptures. Just like the travelers in verse 21, they also had misconceptions regarding this Jesus. It says, we had hoped. Cleopas and the other followers, they thought they understood Jesus. They thought they knew Jesus. They hoped that Jesus would be a political liberator, a warrior to save the nation Israel. They had hoped he would be all that they wanted him to be. But what happened to their hopes? Jesus came to conquer death and sin through his bloody death on the cross. Talk about dashed hopes. For us today, we sometimes follow a version of Jesus shaped more by our culture, fear, and assumptions rather than the Jesus of the scriptures. In our hearts and in our minds, we often think of Jesus as someone that we had hoped for. We do it all the time. We think we know the Jesus of the Bible, but how many times do we fall into this idea of we had hoped? We had hoped Jesus would do this. We had hoped Jesus would do that. If we're honest, even the Jesus who shows up today in the Bible is not the Messiah that we had hoped for. We hope he's more dramatic. We hope that he would be more convincing to my friends and family. We hope that he would be more unmistakably divine. We hope that he would make post-Easter faith easier. But friends, we must ask ourselves this morning, is this Jesus we had hoped for really the Jesus of the scriptures? I remember as a young kid from Sunday school, I remember growing up in Sunday school, to me, Jesus was always this Middle Eastern Santa Claus. As I grew older, youth leaders were the same. Even in some books that I started to pick up when I was a young adult regarding the Christian life, made me think of this Jesus as someone who is going to show up, be some magician and solve all the problems that I have. That's where I placed my hope in. And it was in these misconceptions that hindered me from walking with Jesus. It was in these misconceptions that made me pick and select what I wanted from Jesus, turning my relationship with Jesus something that I can pick any time of the day. It's like, today I want to have mint ice cream. Today I want to have chocolate ice cream. It was that sort of relationship. But here's the wonderful thing about the story, and here's the wonderful thing about the good news of Jesus. Even though many of us have misconceptions of Jesus, even though we don't have the right understanding of who Jesus is in the Bible, from today's story, we learned the second lesson. Jesus walks with us even when we don't recognize him for who he is. Jesus walks with us even when we don't recognize him for who he is. Think about this story. Jesus still walked beside them, took his time to unfold the scriptures and stay with them. Today, we may have had many misconceptions regarding Jesus. Maybe it's something that we have whipped out in our brains or something that has been taught to us as a child. The story reminds us that, hey, if we're willing to walk with Jesus, if we're willing to engage, to think, to listen to unfolding of scriptures and ask Jesus to come and stay with us, Jesus still remains with us and walks with us. And in due time, he will correct our understanding. Today, many of us dismiss Jesus altogether. He's not the Jesus that I want, nor the Jesus that I desire. Right from the get-go, we're not willing to walk with him. And even if we are, we do it very unwillingly and reluctantly. We're not opening ourselves to listen to him. However, I believe if we truly seek him from our hearts, if we open his word that is revealed to us through the prophets and through the apostles, if we are willing to invite him in to stay with our hearts by faith, God meets us there. God sets up us an encounter with us with the living Christ. Jesus meets us where we are, even when we're walking in the wrong direction, because he has the power to reveal himself to us and correct our misconceptions. But first, dear friends, we must be willing to open ourselves and invite him into our hearts. In verses 29, the two travelers strongly urged Jesus to stay with them. When they invited Jesus in, they had that strong desire for Jesus to remain. Jesus had this table fellowship with them, and their eyes were opened. He walked with them, taught them, comforted them. But it wasn't until they invited him in that their eyes were open. Sometimes the reasons we don't encounter Jesus today in our own lives is because we leave Jesus outside the door. We feel the pull, we hear the words as we come in week out, but we never say, "Stay with me, Lord Jesus." Third and final point, walking with Jesus requires us to talk about Jesus. Walking with Jesus requires us to talk about Jesus. You see, the temptation can often be enjoying our personal walk with Jesus. That's great, it's sweet, it's wonderful. But the next step, just like these travelers, they responded. The two travelers went straight away within an hour. They found the 11 other disciples and they told them the news of the resurrection. They couldn't keep the news to themselves. They have embarked on this journey to Emmaus, walked with Jesus and had a living encounter. Their hearts burned within them. They had to respond. Now, with this point, I want to share a very personal faith story in the life of our community. As a pastor, I have the privilege to hear many stories and witness and walk alongside many of you in your journey. But this story has really touched me. And I first, with her permission, I'm willing to share. I can share. When I first met this youth, she was only 9 years old. And when she was 13, I noticed she took a particular interest in faith matters. She asked good questions during our middle school group. She was willing to learn and listen, and I could tell she was very receptive to Jesus and what he has come to accomplish. At the age of 13, she had this great desire to get baptized. She went through all the baptism lessons with me, all 7 classes, was prepping to get baptized, but her father said no. Father's not a believer, and I knew this really took a toll on her faith. In fact, for a few years, she started to leave the church, started to find excuses not to come, and as the pastor in my own heart, I thought it's a lost case. Someone as young as 13, stumbling in her faith, being restricted, there's no way that she's coming back. But through God's grace and efforts, though at times she did not walk with God, she was still on the path. She still pushed on. She had an encounter with Jesus through the fellowship of brothers and sisters. And today at the age of 17, she's getting baptized at 1 p.m. Though her dad has still not approved of her being here and has not given his blessing to her, she's responding to that encounter with Jesus. I praise God for Connie. Sorry, Connie, I told you a whole testimony, but in the face of persecution and suffering and setback, her mom also can't be here today because of a business trip. She's here by herself, getting baptized later at 1 p.m. She must tell others what Jesus has done in her life. So as I wrap it up this morning on this Easter Sunday, we see the story from these two travelers. One walk, one encounter, one moment with Jesus. One walk, one encounter, one moment with Jesus. Their lives were never the same again. Today, some of you may be wondering whether to embark on this journey as well. Some of you may be on your own Emmaus road, wrestling with these questions about who Jesus is. Is he really the resurrected king? Whatever it may be, Jesus walks with us. Even when we don't see him, he has revealed his truth to us through his word. His spirit is constantly working with us, revealing himself through ordinary and extraordinary moments and through the unfolding of scriptures week in, week out. Through the fellowship of the breaking of bread and with those in your faith community, Jesus is present with us. And we have to first take that step to invite him in. Say, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Remain in me. And just like the two travelers, we won't be able to keep him to ourselves. We will go and tell others that he is the risen Lord Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through him there is no longer death, but there is eternal life, and that one day we will be with you forever in paradise. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that grace and mercy that you have revealed to us. Lord, help all of us who are still on that journey. Though we may have doubts, though we are wrestling with questions, Lord, unfold the scriptures to us. Open our spiritual eyes to see you, because Lord, you have brought cosmic healing to this world. Though the couple in Genesis led to sin, death, and destruction, Lord, through this couple, we see that you have brought healing. You have brought fellowship. And you have brought hope for all of humanity. Lord, we thank you that you are walking with us. We thank you that you are here with us. Stay with us, Lord. Remain in us so that we may see you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord Savior. Amen.